a discussion about Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah. First of all, discussing the halachic part of it, and then hopefully also discussing some ideas, Mitzvah, which we'll be able to take into Rosh Hashanah with us. Before we get started, are there any questions to do with Rosh Hashanah which anyone wants to discuss if we've got time at the end? Any halachic questions? If not, it's absolutely fine, don't worry. But if there are, then it might be a good idea to mention it. Come.
For people who are in shul,
yeah.
If they can't keep up, are they allowed to miss out?
Right. Yeah.
And for those people who are not in shul, what are they meant to be prioritising?
Right. Sure, that's a difficult one. Okay, so as I mentioned, Shechion is very much going to be the theme of what we're discussing this evening. First halachic, and then some ideas. So, questions like this. We know there's an idea of having a Shechion of fruit. There's a question which I've asked students in the past, which is, when do you make Shechionu and why do you make Shechionu? And the answers have always been fascinating. Almost no one has ever got it correct. Often the answer is it's something to do with the apple and the honey. That's often what the answer is. But there's a general confusion about we know that on Rosh Hashanah we do make Shechionu at some point, but no one's quite clear what exactly it's all about. So just to go through it. And to go, I think it will, first of all, I think it's an interesting subject. It will help us understand why we're doing what we're doing and also make sure it's done correctly. And also, more importantly, it will give us clarity to some questions which we actually might have. So it's like this. When it comes to a normal Yom Tov, such as Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, during Hadlokas Neiros, when women light the candles, during Kiddush, then Shechionu is said on both nights. Always. There's one exception, and that is second day's Pesach. It's a very simple rule. You always make Shechionu, both first night Yom Tov, second night Yom Tov, except for second day's Pesach. Why is this? So let's go a little bit into the background in order to be able to understand it properly. The reason is like this. Let's translate the words Shechionu. The brach of Shechionu is thank you, Kaddish Baruch Hu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, blessed are you, Hashem, the King of the world, Melech Olam, the King of our God, King of the world, Shechianu, who has kept us alive, V'kiyamonu, and sustained us, V'giyanu l'zman hazeh, and has allowed us to reach to this time. Right? We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've come to a special time. Shechianu is made by special occasions, special experiences. So, new fruit, new clothing, new car. A lot of people don't know this. New car, you make a Shechianu, right? Because it's an experience. It's a special experience which happens every so often. You make a Shechianu.
With a Shem Hashem.
With a Shem Hashem. As it happens, again,
but
this
it
is...
if it's brand new or if it's new
so
to
even,
you.
So even if it's secondhand, even if it's new to you, as it just so happens, a family car, you would not say Brachav Shechianu, you make a Brachav HaTov HaMeitiv. If a person's buying a car just for themselves, they make Shechianu. Very interesting halacha. In fact, again, just going on a very, very slight tangent, if a person buys a new car in the 3 weeks, if it's for themselves, they can't drive in it straight away because they have to make Shechianu, and you can't make Shechianu in 3 weeks. Because how can you thank Hashem to bring it to this time? Whereas if it's for a family, because it's a different bracha, you can start using it in 3 weeks. It's a very interesting halacha. Rav Moshe Feinstein speaks that out. Because a hatova meat is a bracha you always make when it's good for you and also good for others as well. Like when you have wine with lots of people. Okay. In fact, so Shechianu is made at the start of a Yom Tov. Start of a Yom Tov. We're going to discuss soon how every Yom Tov has got its theme. It's got its experience, which we're going through. Therefore, a Shechianu is made. Now, why do we make on first night and on the second night? For example, Pesach. Let's take first day's Pesach to start off with. Why do you make first night and second night? Seemingly, you just make it once at the beginning of Yom Tov, and that's it. Why both nights? The answer is because we keep 2 days of Pesach because in reality, we're not sure which day is the true day of Pesach. Now, nowadays, the calendars are fixed, but there was a time in history when the calendars were not fixed, and people that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't know whether, let's say, Tuesday was Pesach or Wednesday was Pesach. Therefore, they kept both Tuesday and Wednesday. So on Tuesday, they didn't know, maybe it's Erev Pesach today, maybe it's Pesach. So what do? So you make a Shechianu. Because it could be today's the first day of Pesach. The next day again, it could be yesterday was Yom Tov, it could be today's Yom Tov. So you make Shechianu again, because only one of them is going to be Yom Tov. So that's true on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So you make a bracha on the first day and on the second day. Essentially, the second day Yom Tov is just a repeat of the first day. That's what it is. So Kiddush, second night, you're just doing the same thing again. Right? That's what we call in Halacha, Sveika the Yoma. Right? Because we're unsure which day it is. That is regarding Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Whereas when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's not exactly like that. Because let's contrast it. Let's think ourselves. How many days Rosh Hashanah do they keep in Israel? 2 days. How many days Pesach do they keep in Eretz Yisrael? One day. Why is that? Because by the time you get to the 15th of the month, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, for Pesach, for example, you'll know what day the month started. Therefore, you will know what day Pesach is if you live in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you're always going to keep one day. When you're living in Chutz Laaretz, you don't know whether that one day is first day or whether that one day is the second day. In Eretz Yisrael, though, they keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Reason for this is because in Eretz Yisrael itself, they wouldn't have been sure. Because Rosh Hashanah is the start of the month. And since Rosh Hashanah is the start of the month, and you're not going to know when the month starts until the start of the month, therefore, they're going to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah most years, even in Eretz Yisrael. So we can see already a big difference between Rosh Hashanah and the other Yom Tovim. Now, because of this, again, this is sort of hopefully going to be the most difficult part, and then we'll be able to sort of segue into the actual practicalities. Because of this, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because they're even in Eretz Yisrael, they're kept as 2 days, it's not looked at as, I'm not sure if it's first day or second day, it's looked as a 2 day Yom Tov. That's how we view it. Because again, in England, we know that in Eretz Yisrael, they're only keeping 1 day. Is it this day or is it that day? I'm not sure, so we keep both. But regarding Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael, they're keeping 2 days. Because of this, there are some early Rishonim, early Poskim, that say Rosh Hashanah is looked at as just one long Yom Tov. Now, if it's looked at as just one long Yom Tov, how many Shechionos are you going to make for one long Yom Tov? Just one. You make one on the first night and that's it. Finished. Nothing else to talk about. Based on that, when it comes to Hadlokas Aneiros, lighting the Yom Tov candles on second night, then are you going to make a Shechionu? No. Will there be a Shechionu in Kiddush? No. So why do you make a Shechionu? The answer is because there are others that say, no, at the end of the day, we're still only keeping 2 days at its root because we weren't sure which day was Rosh Hashanah, whether it was the first day or the second day. And therefore, in reality, the second day is just a replica of the first day. Cut a very long story short, we're left in a situation where halachically, second night Rosh Hashanah, it's not clear whether we should make Shechionu or not. It could be we do make Shechionu because it's considered to be a new day now. And we're keeping now a second day because it could be that really the second day is the real Yom Tov. And therefore you should make Shechionu. Or it could be it's one long day and therefore on the second day there's no Shechionu. So what do? You're not sure on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. We're not sure. Because of that, we take a new fruit. I'm going to talk about Kiddush first, then we'll talk about Hadlokas Aneiros. During Kiddush, whoever's making Kiddush will take a new fruit and put it in front of him. There's a new fruit. He'll make Kiddush as normal. There's definitely a chiv to make Kiddush. When it comes to Shechianu, I'm not sure. Do I make Shechianu or not? I'll make Shechianu. I'll have in mind that I'm going to now experiencing the day of Rosh Hashanah. But I'll have at the back of my mind as well, I'm also covering this fruit. And that way, even though I'm not sure if I should make Shechianu, no problem, because I've got a new fruit, which is being covered with my bracha as well. That is the idea of the new fruit. Thank you. Exactly. In pure halachic terms, The idea of the new fruit or the new clothing is only second night. And again, based on what we're saying as well, let's just think about it for a minute. Because once we get it clear, we can sort of develop it further and further. Based on what we're saying, when should the new fruit be eaten?
Second night.
At what point second night?
Kiddush.
Straight after Kiddush. Before Hamotzi. That's my minhag.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I make sure you don't want any fruits?
What's that? Mummy's giving me a dirty look. That's our minhag.
Can you make
shekhi
on new fruits now?
So I'm going to talk through it. First of all, although that's my minhag, takash, after Kiddush, and we just made shekhi on it, and it might be going on the fruit, so of course, you meant to eat the fruit straight away. That's what logic would dictate. So the Mati Ephraim says that's halacha, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach did that, and that is, I think, my minhag as well. I mean, that's certainly what's written in our siddur. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, so that is that.
You say,
do not make another Shekhi Yonu. Again, so based on what we're just saying, should you make another Shekhi Yonu when you eat the fruit?
No.
No! If let's say I'm making Kiddush. I finish Kiddush.
No.
I'll tell you in a minute what any question is. I make Kiddush. I make Shekhi Yonu. I then eat the new fruit. If I make another shekhi on the new fruit, I've literally ruined the whole reason why I've got a new fruit. What I do is, I'll make 8, eat the new fruit, and then go and wash. Now, that's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach does as well. Rebbe Eliashiv and others say, you can wait until Amoitzi if you want to. And I think that's what a lot of Klal Yisrael do. They wait until after Amoitzi. But the person who's made Kiddush still should not be making another shekhi on it.
But usually do you say
Ha'etz
and then Shekhi
Yonu? He would be making Ha'etz, but no Shekhi Yonu.
No, but usually when one has a new fruit,
yes.
You do Ha'etz first and then Shekhi Yonu, but you don't, you do Shekhi Yonu and then...
Correct, thank you. Thank you for that. Correct, absolutely. Now, having said all this, again, that is why we make Shekhi Yonu. So again, if you ever try and work out like what's the idea of the Shekhi Yonu fruit, you know, what's it all about, that everyone knows you have to get Shekhi Yonu fruit and... That is the reason. That is the reason. Again, because on second night, we're unsure whether you make Shekhi Yonu, therefore, you make sure to have something else there. The alternative Mishnah Berurah mentions, for example, is having new clothing. Fine. One other important point, though, is the following. Ideally, when women are making Hadlokas Aneiros on second night, it should be shortly before Kiddush for the same reason. Because they're going to be making Shekhi Yonu on the second night. It's going to be after Nacht on second night when you're making Hadlokas Aneiros. And you're going to be saying Shekhi Yonu, which we're going to discuss more about in a minute. It should be quite shortly before Kiddush, ideally. Again, the idea is to make sure that your Shekhi Yonu is closely related to the eating of the fruit. So if it's a husband and wife, for example, they'll both be making Shekhi Yonu on this fruit, and they should both be eating this fruit without making another Shekhi Yonu.
So you should wait till your husband gets home and is about to make Kiddush and then light the candles.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
So basically, wait till the husband comes home from shul. Wait. Good question. Very good question. And Moshe Feinstein has got a long teshuvah, which I was looking through this morning if you can find it.
So, bottom line is you can't. Can I just get Hadlokas Aneiros and not do the Shekhi Yonu and wait for the husband to do it?
Wait, could you just do like a role play?
Yes. Rivka? No, I'm okay.
As in step by step.
Absolutely. Again, this is all the ideal. If it doesn't go exactly right, the Shalom Bayis should be the Ikka. But what we're talking about over here is the ideal, just to understand, generally speaking. But again, if you do Hadlokas Aneiros a bit earlier on, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Fine.
But the ideal, based on what we discussed, based on what's written in Halacha, the ideal would be, husband comes into the house, everything's looking shining, all the children looking happy, everyone's got massive smiles on their faces, all the simonim on the table. Which is what ideals, right? So then the husband comes in, the Rebbetzin says, Hadlokas Aneiros, God with the fruit either next to her on the table. She makes Hadlokas Aneiros. We'll talk in a minute about the Hadlokas Aneiros itself, what Rochi make. what brach, how you make the brachas.
But the new fruit has to be near the
candles. Yes, the new fruit should be near the candles.
Right, okay, fine.
Make the bracha, say Shechianu, have in mind the day of Yom Tov, but be aware that you're also covering the fruit. But your main intention should be to have the day of Yom Tov. That's your main intention. The Shechianu should be on the day of Yom Tov, but have in mind also the fruit. Then the husband makes Kiddush, he does the same thing, he says Shechianu, you can say Amin. It's a discussion in the poskim. You can say Amin. It's a big discussion. It's mamish. It's labedic. There's a lot to discuss.
What about you saying
Amin to my Shechianu? That I can definitely do. I just shouldn't have in mind to be Yotze with your Shechianu. Make Kiddush, and then either eat the fruit straight away if that's your minhag. If it's not your minhag, then wash and eat the fruit straight away without making Shechianu. Now, husband and wife both should not be making Shechianu. Can the kids make Shechianu if they want? Probably, because they probably don't have in mind to be Yotze for the fruit as well. They probably don't have all those intricate calculations in their mind, and therefore if they want, they can make Shechianu. Can you make Shechianu on the fruit first night? Because, as we know, we have Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah, right? That's what we do.
We don't have Shechianu.
Very good. Then that makes sense halachically. Very good. Exactly for this reason. There are many though that just have, they have both nights. Have shechi. You can have a shechi on your fruit the first night. No problem. Do not have it in mind in Kiddush though. You should not have it in mind in Kiddush. Do not have it in mind in your lighted candles. Okay. So again, without complicating matters, just again, very, very simple. Just last point is, first night, just do normal. Second night, the idea of the Shechianu is that when you make Shechianu on your candles or on the Kiddush, also have in mind the fruit, which you'll then have either after Kiddush, if that's your minhag, or only after Hamotzi. But do not make another Shechianu. Okay? That is that. Okay, let's take it another step further. What's interesting is that the Mishnah Berurah, again, we're going to go now a little bit into the Drush, but I just want to introduce it with an interesting point, I think. The Mishnah Berurah, when he talks about this halacha of Hadlokas Aneris and women lighting the candles on Yom Tov night, he says that women don't have to make Shechianu on Yom Tov night. He's talking about regular Yom Tov night, not talking about Rosh Hashanah. He says women don't have to make Shechianu on Yom Tov night. No need. Why should they make a Shechianu on the nearest? Then he finishes off his words. He says, but if a woman does, then it's fine. He used the expression of ein moichin v'yodom, which means we don't protest against it, but it sounds like it's not ideal. It sounds like he doesn't think it's the most ideal thing. What's fascinating, though, is that in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, he says, and when women make Shechianu on the second night, make sure they have this new fruit there. So on the one hand, on regular Yom Tov, he says, Don't make a fuss if they make Shechianu. On the other hand, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, he seems to be pushing it. It's a fantastic idea.
But didn't we just say that we're saying that bracha because we're happy that Hashem brought us to that point? So why aren't we not happy? Why shouldn't we be not happy?
So, correct. So there's different triggers to make Shechianu. Mm. So for example, we don't make it in davening. We make it at Kiddush. So the reason why you may not do it at Hadlokas Neiris, the reason why you may not would be because that wouldn't be a trigger for the bracha. But we see clearly the Mishnah Berurah holds it is a trigger for the bracha. And where do you mention it's a trigger for the bracha? Rosh Hashanah. And again, the minhag is, I think everyone does make Shechianu on the candles, correct? Yeah, I think that's the minhag is true. So I want to talk just for a couple of minutes about maybe what it is that we're supposed to have in mind. Because again, Shechianu means that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for coming to this time. We're thanking, right? Meaning there's something amazing. Like I mentioned, when it comes to 3 weeks, you don't make that bracha. Tisha B'Av, you certainly don't make that bracha. That means the bracha is made by a experience that I should look forward to, an experience that I'm proud of, an experience that I enjoy. So what is this experience on Rosh Hashanah? So I want to talk about that for a minute. So I want to share with you just some thoughts I've been having the past couple of weeks. Been developing a little bit. Like this. Over Elul, and on Rosh Hashanah clearly we see it, there's really three areas we're supposed to be working on. Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. Shuv a tefillin into a tzedakah. Those are the three areas of work that a person should be working on over Elul. And that's what we say. We say that on Rosh Hashanah, that teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah, they're mavirus, raya, gezera, they're the areas of work. And I'll have a little think about it. That, what are these three areas? It seems that these like three, you know, overarching areas that encompass a lot, encompass everything. So what are they? So tefillah is clear. Tefillah is an area, what we call bein adam lemakim. It's an area of avodah where I want to do have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very, very clear. I'm talking to Hashem. That's very, tefillah is poshut. Tzedakah is also clear. Tzedakah is bein adam lechaveri. What's the shuvah? So I must tell you, whenever we have three areas, and one's been Adon L'Chaviri, one's been Adon L'Mokim, and there's a third area, that area is known as Bin Adon L'Atzmoy, between man and himself. Again, this is, to me, it seems, it's glaring at me. It's glaring at me that somehow Teshuvah is Bin Adon L'Atzmoy. It's an avoda of man working on himself. What does that mean? Why is teshuva being on that smoy? So I think it makes sense to me. So I'm gonna share it with you. And again, this idea resonates with myself. I'm sharing it, and I think it will resonate. It's like this: a neshama, we're told in the Svarim Kedoshim, is described as a chilek elika mimal mamash. That's how it's described in Tanya. That's how it's described in many Svarim. It's a literal portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Literal portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw this also in Elif HaMogin, which is the commentary on Mete Ephraim, that a neshama is a literal part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is part of me. And it's learned out from Pesukim. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Perik, Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tes, Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy, that the Jewish nation are a part of Hashem. We're a part of Hashem. We know this, right? We know this concept. We've all heard the songs and the concepts of, you know, we're taken mitachas kisei hakavod. You know that expression, right? The neshama is taken from the kisei hakavod and put into us and put into this world. We have inside of us a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we're neglecting our avodas Hashem, if we're neglecting our ruchnius, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us to do in this world, that which energizes our neshama, that's what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are the nourishment for the neshama. Do you know what we're doing? We're neglecting ourselves. If you think about the word teshuva, what mitzvah in particular is teshuva referring to? Teshuva just means returning. It means, when we think of returning is a circuit, right? Because if we're neglecting our ruchnius, we're neglecting ourselves. We're not whole. We're going to feel a lack. We're going to feel we're missing something. This is not how life's supposed to be. And however much gashmis we have, however much we try and pamper ourselves, there's something missing. There's a famous moshah, I think I first heard it from Gershon Miller, but it's one of these famous mashalim which was brought a long time ago. I was thinking of like a more contemporary way of saying it, but I think the original way of saying it is the most effective way. The moshal is with a princess who the king was trying to find a match for her. And the king tries very shidduchim, it doesn't work. Eventually he says, you know what, forget it, I'm fed up. Whoever walks through the door next is going to be the husband. Going to be my new son-in-law. And a peasant walks through the door, who's come snoring. He finally got in, and the king says, okay. Right. But the king said, and that's what's going to happen. So the princess is told, right, this bloke is your new husband. And he's like, you know, beaming completely, like, no, he's got no etiquette, he's got this big toothy grin, no stolz about him, nothing. And the princess says, okay, you know, that's the way it is. And the what's called it, the peasant takes the princess to his hut, you know, his big smile, says, look what I've got for you here, it's fantastic. And he puts her on a bench, he says, they even got you some straw, because I know that you're used to luxury. I got you some straw. And she lies on the straw, she cries the whole night, and she, you know, he sees that she's not happy, so he says it's fine, he gives her some half-baked potatoes, and he keeps on giving her all these luxurious gifts. And eventually, she goes running back to the palace and says, Daddy, I can't. He's not able to give me what I need. I belong in the palace. And however much he's trying to give me stuff, he's from a different world. It's a different existence. It's impossible. Because I am royalty. I'm a princess. And that's what the neshama is feeling. When the neshama doesn't receive its royalty, ruchnius, it feels neglected. Because it is the princess. It is a chilek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's royalty and it needs the royal nourishment. So teshuvah is returning to the concept of ruchnius. It's returning to the concept of ruchnius. It's me saying on Rosh Hashanah, and before Rosh Hashanah, okay, I want to think the right word. I want to recalibrate, I think the word is. Yeah, I want to get things the way they're supposed to be. I don't get my nourishment from these other areas. Other areas are important. I've got a body. I need to survive. There's a lot of various important areas. But ultimately, the only way I'm going to feel whole, the only way I'm going to feel full, is by ruchnius. And that's teshuvah. That's teshuvah. It's not one area. It's not one specific area. It's this feeling of, I need to get back into the palace. It's teshuvah. It's returning. It's returning him. Returning to the royalty that I am. Returning to the royalty that's there. And it's facing that royalty. And when a person has that feeling of, I get it. I understand what I need. I understand what I need. And I'm going to work towards that. It might take a long time. It could take years. But I'm on that journey. I'm returning. That already start feeling that amazing feeling of accomplishment. That feeling of full circuit. Because they're not neglecting themselves anymore. Lack of neglect doesn't just change from one day to the next. It's a journey. But the nourishment starts in Rosh Hashanah. And I'm thinking about this Shechionu bracha. When we say Shechionu, maybe that's what we should have in mind. We're going into Rosh Hashanah now, and it's starting a journey. Someone asked me even today, you know, what's the difference between, we've got Rosh Hashanah, but then we've got Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. How does that work? Yom HaDin, and then you did Teshuvah. No. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the journey. It's looking forward. Looking forward. It's saying, I get it, and I want to move forward. And I was thinking, maybe what the emotions we should have when we say the Shechionu is like this. I'll tell you just a little story, just the way it is, just to bring up the point, and we'll leave it with that, otherwise we'll be here all night. I remember a few years ago, it was a family on South Mead, I don't know who it was, don't know if they live there anymore. I was walking back home, I think I'd been learning locally, and walking back through South Mead towards the house, and it was the beginning of summer Bein Hazmanim, summer holidays, and I saw a family with booming music on in the car. Booming music. And they were putting the last things in the car. And you could see like the father, you know, finally putting his baseball cap. You know, it's not holiday, putting his baseball cap. And the kids were all like, you know, moving around, like saying, you know, what nash have we got for the journey? And they were about to go on this journey. And you could feel the energy in the air. It was like this is everything. They weren't there, they were nowhere near the holiday yet. I can almost guarantee you that feeling that they had as they were about to leave on the holiday was greater than any experience they had on the holiday itself. The anticipation of the enjoyment can sometimes be even greater than the enjoyment itself. I remember the music, the feeling, the looks, the excitement. You could feel it in the air. And I was thinking that maybe if I had Lachas Aneiros when we're starting Rosh Hashanah or Kiddush, when we're starting Rosh Hashanah, we can have that in mind. We're about to go on the journey of the next year. We're about to go on the journey of teshuvah, of coming full circuit, of coming back to ourselves. Of, again, we do nourish ourselves, but this is renewal. This is committing again. And maybe when we're lighting the candles and we're saying the bracha, we should try and develop that feeling. And thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu zman hazeh. Forgiving is the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah, an opportunity of starting again, an opportunity of enjoyment, opportunity of realizing how lucky we are. The Ashrina Matov Chalkeinu. What's our chilek? We are a chilek alikamimal. That's what we are. And we're so fortunate that we have that. And to renew our commitment to ourselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, it's like this. Of course we should be trying to do that when we start Rosh Hashanah. But we also want to make sure that we're able to carry that through with us through the year as well. Which is why, again, I mentioned this on Shabbos, but it's very important that when we start the year and we do have this, you know, this enthusiasm, this inspiration of, you know, we're going to be ruchniyistic people, you know, we're going to be really good this year, etc., etc. It's important that we take on any Kabbalah. It can be any Kabbalah. Just some sort of commitment for the year that reminds us and encapsulates that feeling that we have. It can be the most simple Kabbalah of singing a song every Shabbos, singing a ruchniyistik song, making sure that, you know, if, for example, let's say we're a family that aren't so particular about singing zmiras. It can be just making sure that we sing one zemer. But the point is that whatever that commitment is, it's reminding us of why we made it. So encapsulating that enthusiasm that we have when we say Shekhiyonah. And then if we have that, we can take the enthusiasm through the year. So we'll leave it there. And thank you all so much for coming. And thank you again for organising it. Sure.
My question.
Oh, Dina's question.